Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
Hey, we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and you can check us out on Facebook at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, and we have to say Happy New Year to this guy, Mr. Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. That's columbusconstruction.org. Their Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year to my friend.
Happy New Year, Flash. 2021 is finally here, and 2020 is finally out the door.
What a crazy year. Oh my God. My God. I don't even want to dwell on it. We have to look forward to the new year. Let's just plow right into to what you see happening. And I tell you, there's a lot happening down in Central Ohio, and you're in the middle of everything right now. Let's talk about the the Linden Rec Center. What's going on there?
Yeah, so the Linden Rec Center was completed at the end of this year. While we had some issues with weather, especially in the spring and the summer, and the completion of the project was delayed about 30 days, we were able to man up the job, get plenty of people out there. We were also able to get some of our graduates from Building Futures out there, which was great, get some new apprentices out there, specifically with not only in the city of Columbus, but also the Linden neighborhood, and then the project, too. I know the city, the customer, was incredibly happy because the project came in under budget by about $400,000. So the city and Recreation and Parks, who the project fell under because it was a recreation and community center in the Linden neighborhood, said it was one of the best projects that they had last year. In terms of, getting local people on it, getting minority participation, coming in on time and under budget and also safely. So they were very happy with the CBA that was done, just like the Fire Station 35 CBA, which met all of our workforce goals. And it was very successful, so we're going to hope to continue to do something more and to expand community benefit agreements with the City of Columbus in 2021 as we look at other projects with the city. So that's one of my main focuses for 2021. We also had a ton of other work here in Columbus and Central Ohio. Of course, there's tons of work at the Ohio State University. They've broken ground on the garage for the new OSU Medical Center and garage, which looks like it's going to be close to about a $2 billion project. Of course, we're still in the middle of the Crew Stadium, brand new downtown stadium for the Columbus Crew. We're hoping to have that done sometime this summer, so that way the Crew can play some of their season this summer of 2021. The defending MLS champ cup champion Columbus Crew can play some of their games in 2021 in their new stadium as they defend their championship. We're also got the brand new Hilton Hotel, and that doesn't even begin to talk about all the data center work that we're doing and all the work that we're doing with big tech, you know, the Amazons and the Googles and the Facebook. So 2020, even though we had some bumps here and there, work-wise was great. Tons of work for our members. It looks like we're going to eclipse our best year that we've ever had work-wise. It looks like the Columbus Building Trades and our 18 affiliates looks like we're going to eclipse about a 7 million man hours, which will be huge. And 2021 looks even better. The outlook for work looks even better for 2021.
Well, let's unwind a couple of things here. You laid out a lot I want to get into some detail on. Number one, the $2 billion garage. What kind of garage are we talking about down there?
$2 billion garage and medical center. I'm sorry, the complex at OSU Medical Center.
Oh, okay.
Total construction. Yeah, everything. Yeah, imagine that garage. Yeah, that would seat a lot of fans of the Ohio State football games, wouldn't it? But yeah, it's a huge project. You know, the last tower they did was completed about 6 years ago, and it was a little over $1 billion. And, Ohio State, specifically in the Midwest, but I think they're trying to compete with the world, is becoming one of the leaders in medical research. And, the city of Columbus is growing. Ohio State University is growing. There's more population here. So we're obviously building more hospitals, more research facilities, specifically on campus. So it's a ton of work at Ohio State. It's amazing how they don't skip a beat and they keep going. And we're glad to have them right here in our backyard and able to put some of our people to work there on campus and stuff.
And you mentioned Amazon. What's going on? Is that a warehouse down there that you're building or what?
Amazon's Amazon's built three fulfillment centers. They've also built some warehouses to help with those fulfillment centers. But they're looking at continuing to add more and more data centers for data storage, data recovery, and stuff like that. So those are some of the huge projects that we have here in Columbus. Of course, data centers are a ton of work for the iron worker, cement mason, obviously the electrician, the plumber, and the pipe fitter, and the insulator, and you get into the details of the data center. But some very, very large in-depth projects. But Amazon has data centers popping up all over Central Ohio. They're kind of spreading them out. But it's been a good, pretty good partner to have here in Columbus and Central Ohio. They've been putting a lot of our members to work.
That's good to hear. And the reason I bring that up, because Amazon, and you know this, when it comes to their workers, they don't treat them very well. In fact, there's a union drive going on down, of all places, Alabama right now with the retail warehouse workers. But when it comes to building, and I've seen this throughout the years, Walmart, anti-union, Disney, for the most part, anti-union. But when they build, they're union. What's your thoughts on that, Dorsey?
I think a lot of it, and I had a conversation with a contractor last week that gets right to the heart of this, and he was talking about that the wages that unions command and the benefit package. And I said, you know, everybody looks at an iron worker or an electrician, they look at their wage and benefit package and they're like, oh my God, how do those guys ever get a job? Well, it's not the wage and benefit package. It's productivity too. So, you know, and that's what I explained to this contractor that I was meeting with that was asking about collective bargaining agreements and stuff like that. And I think that's a big reason why that we are so aggressive and are so, so competitive in the private sector market is because the Hondas, the Amazons, the Googles, the Facebooks, you know, they know that when they get one of our members and one of our contractors on a project, not only is the job going to be done safely, but it's going to be done on time and under budget. And I think that plays a lot into it. So that's, yeah, it's very interesting, but it's good too. And I know that, like I said, our contractors and our contractor associations and our unions are really, really focusing on this big tech sector here in Columbus that just continues to grow and expand. And I know they're being very aggressive when they go after a lot of these projects, and they've been able to secure a lot of them and keep a lot of our people working, you know, through 2020, which we said was, you know, in some other markets was not a very good year.
Yeah. You're going to become the Silicon Valley of the Midwest, the way it's shaping up down there. You know, you mentioned that the rec center, too, especially when you have a project that comes on time and under budget. And you mentioned, what was it, $400,000 under budget? There's a good example right there of union productivity. When you hire the right people to get the job done, they're going to do the job right the first time, and they'll come under budget. Now, I'm just wondering, did that get a lot of media play down there, the fact that that happened?
It hasn't gotten a lot of media play yet, but that's one of the things that we're going to look at as we move into 2021 and start doing more outreach and more media coverage on some of the things that we're doing. But not only do we want to really play up the fact that the job came in under budget, but we also want to play up the fact of all the people in the city and in the county and in the community that got the opportunity to be exposed to our apprenticeship programs and our pre-apprenticeship programs and get on those paths to the middle class that maybe would have never known about it. You know, we had an outreach event in August, an outdoor event, obviously, and we were able to bring two young men who were working on the project who lived right there in the Linden community that were working, you know, within walking distance of their homes. But they found out about the building trades by going to outreach projects that we were hosting in conjunction with the Linden Rec Center or even at the newly constructed Linden Rec Center. So I think that as cities, municipalities, and counties do more and more public works, and hopefully there's an investment in this next administration when President Biden is sworn in, when there's more investment in infrastructure, I hope that they start looking at these things and think, hey, not only how can we build it safely, how can we build it on time and under budget, but how can we make it a true economic driver for the community and put local people to work building these projects? And I know you and I have talked about that on your show lots of times, but it's one of the things that we're going to continue to focus on in 2021, especially, like I said, as you know, I work with friends of ours and supporters of ours in the community, President Nana Watson, you know, people from the Worker Center, and we continue to have these ongoing conversations with the city and the county, especially with the city, about how we can expand these CBAs, use them more, not just on $30 million rec centers like Linden Rec, but also, you know, $50 million jailhouses and, you know, $100 and $200 million business expansions that get tax abatements, and also the $8, $10, and $12, and $15 million police substations and fire stations. You know, you start putting that all together, and you're creating a lot of work, and you're creating a lot of opportunities for apprenticeship for a lot of kids and a lot of young adults here in Columbus and Central Ohio.
Good stuff. It's happening, no doubt about that. Dorsey, I have to take a quick break. Later in the show, I just want to point out that Mike Nisley will be joining us, and Mike is president of the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council. It's all part of America's workforce on this New Year's Day. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager, one of our regulars on this show we call America's Workforce. Dorsey is head of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You're still at, what, 18,000 members in Central Ohio? Is that the number?
18,000 members, yep.
Good, good, good. Going strong. Lots of work down there. In case you're just joining in, there's all kinds of projects, billions and billions of dollars of investment in Central Ohio. You know what? You talk a lot about building futures, especially for young people, many of them disadvantaged in urban communities. They can't figure out what they're going to do with their life. College is not part of the agenda. We did a segment with an individual out of Rhode Island. I guess it's really, really going strong there. And it seems like this might be the, you often say it's the pathway to the middle class. I mean, you take a look at state by state by state, and there's some states that can use the help bet more than others. But this is a great program, Dorsey. I don't know where you are with it, but I just think that more cities and areas of the country can really tap into some resources here of young people, show them the opportunities that are out there. And there are many. There are many, as you pointed out, especially in Central Ohio. But what's the future hold, no pun intended, for building futures in Central Ohio for 2021?
Well, obviously in 2021, we're going to continue to do what we've been doing for the last 3 years. We're going to continue to have cohorts for building futures where we're turning out people that, you know, want to be laborers, want to be electricians, want to be insulators, iron workers, sheet metal workers, all that. We're putting a lot of these people on the path to the middle class. And one of the things that we're starting to see now is we're starting to see people from our first cohort in 2017 who stepped right into apprenticeship programs, loved what they were doing, and are now getting ready to graduate and become journey people, and are able to come back and talk to some of the kids that are in the classes now, or even go to events and help us recruit for future classes. One offshoot of building futures that we've also done is a program called Driving Futures, where we help people get their Class A CDL, and then they go directly to the Teamsters, where the Teamsters help get them placed, either with a general contractor doing some delivery stuff, or with different material suppliers like concrete, like Anderson Concrete. Or they can also go into the other sector of the Teamsters, where they go to work for like a Sigma or a UPS or a Coca-Cola or a Columbus Distributing. And a lot of these driving jobs, if you have your Class A CDL, are fairly lucrative. I mean, you're looking at anywhere from $60,000 to $70,000 a year at Coca-Cola, to, you know, $100,000 to $140,000 a year at Sigma and Columbus Distributing. But again, the big roadblock and the big barrier is the Class A CDL, and that's what we help all these people be able to study, to be able to train, and also help them out financially so that way they get that. So it's a great offshoot program as well. So in 2021, we're looking at doing two cohorts, maybe three cohorts of building futures, and we're looking at doing as many as 5 to 6 cohorts as driving futures, as the need for drivers and Teamsters continues to grow and expand, you know, especially in the age of this pandemic with delivery and everything. This has just really, really exploded. The one other thing that I would like to discuss, too, is that, you know, NAVTU has put a huge presence of apprenticeship readiness and pre-apprenticeship programs, you know, so this is big. We were awarded a grant from NAVTU to kind of help supplement some of the training and outreach that we're doing with Building Futures. We were also Councilman Rob Dorns, who's an IBEW member and works for ACT Ohio, so he sees firsthand what apprenticeship does. He was able to get us some funding from the city of Columbus, too, where we're going to really, I mean, we already have them, but we're going to continue to specifically focus on city of Columbus residents to try to, you know, expose them to careers in the building trades and also to get them into building futures and driving futures and on this path to the middle class. So it's all good. And with that, you know, we're looking, you know, this is a lot to undertake besides, you know, my other jobs and duties that I do within the council. So the executive board and our board and our managers and agents, myself, we've went out and hired a young lady named Kelly Harrop to be our new communications and outreach specialist. It's a title that we just created and some duties that we just done. And her primary focus is going to be in helping in the administration of Building Futures to make sure that this program stays strong and successful. She's also going to help us with outreach in Columbus, Central Ohio, and Franklin County within the community, and also doing more and more concerted outreach like I've been working on the last few years with, you know, the Columbus Urban Leagues and the NAACP to make sure that we get into some of these areas and these neighborhoods where these folks really, really are deserving of looking at ways to get on that path to the middle class. We're going to continue to do that, and I think she's going to be a huge asset to help us.
Well, you got a great story, and Kelly's one to tell the story, along with yourself. I mean, you do a pretty good job. I just want to let you know that. But it's important.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's important to get to the media and let them know. I mean, in the first segment, we were talking about that $400,000 under budget for the Linden Rec Center. I mean, the media, they have to pick up those stories because, you know, the right to workers and Dorsey, you know, there's a lot of them out there. They're saying, oh, we can't hire union. It's too much. We can do it a lot cheaper. It's taxpayer money. We're not going to rob the taxpayers. But you know what? When you got a story like that, you got to tell it. You got to tell it and shut these people up and just move forward. You follow me?
Oh, yeah. And we have lots of advocates in the city. We have lots of advocates in the county. And we're growing more and more advocates at the State House that see that, you know, it's not just enough to throw up a building and make sure it's done under time and under budget. What can we do to make that project an economic driver in that community, you know, to give people that opportunity? I mean, you know, this program, Building Futures and Driving Futures, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it, but look at the output. Look at the, you know, the people that are no longer on subsistence from the government. Look at the people that, you know, have we've helped remove a lot of these barriers, and now, you know, they're going out, like I said, and they're recruiting, and they're mouthpieces and they're figureheads in their community, and they're helping us get more and more people into this program and helping it continue to grow. And that's what I think that a lot of people here in Columbus Central Ohio are looking at this program and seeing why it's such a tremendous asset.
Good move there. We'll see what Kelly brings for the new year here. All right, let's talk about the legislature. And we're going to have a new president here in a couple of weeks. But the legislature, you know, we got a couple of new faces. And what always scares me are the right to workers that say, you know, we got to do away with prevailing wage. What's the mood right down there in Central Ohio? What are you hearing, Dorsey?
Really, it's been kind of quiet since lame duck. I know that, you know, one of the bills, which I was incredibly disappointed in, that didn't go forward in the Senate, was one of our state reps, who's a Republican, but a great person in the State House and a great voice for labor, Rick Carfagna. He introduced a bill that would have created a fund for $20 million to expand broadband access throughout the state of Ohio, and specifically in rural areas. And I know I was talking to somebody during our screening in August and September, and they said it was later in the evening. It was like 8:30, 9 o'clock, so after dinner, and they lived in a rural area, and they went into town and you know, went to a McDonald's to get some ice cream, right? The only thing in his rural town was McDonald's, and he went there to get some ice cream, and he looked, and in the parking lot, all the parking lot spots were filled But the people weren't in the McDonald's. They were in their cars, and there was these lights beaming from inside of the cars. And he said to his wife, who's a school teacher, he said, you know, what the heck is going on? She's like, well, none of these kids have wireless, or none of these kids have access to internet. So they drive into town. They park in the McDonald's parking lot, and they use their wireless to do their homework, to do their reports, to do their research on their iPads and laptops. So Rick Carfagna was working, and with a lot of bipartisan support, and the bill came out of the House to address one of these problems. And unfortunately, it stalled in the Republican legislature. So I know there was a lot going on at lame duck. I don't know how much actually got done in the last couple of weeks during lame duck. And what 21, what does it have to hold? I'm not sure. I do know that we're going to continue to reach out to our friends in the State House and our friends in the Senate, and not only continue to grow the relationships that we have that are existing, but also try to make new relationships. And I mean, just a few weeks ago, our hopes increased a little bit with a good friend of the building trades, Stephanie Kunze. She won her reelection. It was, it was in a recount, mandatory recount, because it was so close, but she was reelected. She's a huge asset and huge advocate of the building trades down in the state Senate. So we have to be vigilant. We have to see what happens. We have to be ready. You know, I'm sure that there's going to be some things talked about with unemployment reform, especially with everything coming out of the pandemic. You know, that's been a big topic at the federal level. I'm sure it'll be a big topic here at the state level as well. So I don't know. I guess I really can't answer that, but we just have to be vigilant like we are every year and see what happens and be ready to act and react, I guess.
Yeah, when it comes to broadband, I mean, the best way to describe that is the digital divide in this country. And we've seen that, especially with the pandemic, where you have well-to-do school systems that have no problems accessing the internet because you had so much remote learning. But in the urban communities, in the impoverished, like you mentioned, the kids that have to go to McDonald's parking lot, they don't have that luxury. So they're suffering. Their learning is suffering. And we just got to bring both sides together on that and realize we've got an issue here that needs to be addressed immediately. So that's definitely on the agenda for this year. All right, my friend, we're just about out of time. I got Mike Nisley, your buddy, on line number two. And we got a big game tonight, and I'm a little nervous. What's your thoughts, buddy?
I'm extremely nervous. Our offense, you know, we haven't played as many games as a lot of other teams in the country, so our offense has been hit and miss. We haven't had any real consistency. The quarterback play, you know, Justin Fields is a tremendous athlete and a great quarterback, but he's been inconsistent. You know, young receivers. We'll see what happens. I mean, Trey Sermon had a huge game in the Big Ten Championship game. Our defense did not play well, but, you know, in big games, you need your big players to make big plays. So we need Trey Sermon. We need Justin Fields. We need Chris Olave. We need Sean Wade. We need those guys to step up and play huge tonight, because that's the only way we're going to beat Clemson. I think this Clemson team is better than the Clemson team last year, and that gives me pause. But that's why you play the game. So we'll see what happens tonight. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, let's hope for the best here. All right, my friend. Again, Happy New Year to you, your whole staff down there, and we'll talk in a month, okay?
All right. Thanks, Flash. Happy New Year. Go Bucks.